Nicole Brandon, and welcome to Hourglass Bride. We have such a special and extraordinary show today. When I created Hourglass Bride, it was my deepest desire to bring to you the experts around the world that can give you the keys and the secrets, the tools and the techniques to lead and to live that happily ever after, that life that you always dreamed of, that you always desired, that you always deserved. And this has been such a tricky time over the past few months, from Valentine's and Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's Eve, especially in my relationships. There are people that have been longing for someone to spend New Year's with, longing to have a Valentine's date, longing to have that special someone in their life. And then there are those who have had that special someone in their life, and it's not playing out the way that they expected it to play out. I even had an opportunity just recently to speak with a girl, and she was telling me that on Christmas a couple years ago, her father gifted her jumper cables, and that she was quite sure her father did not know her at all, because why would he give her jumper cables? And that the mother has actually used that against the father for quite some time, that he didn't know his daughter. And then she let me know that as she was in college, how many times her car died, and that she used those jumper cables, and that now she has a bigger, better car and a job, and the only thing in her car that she carries consistently are the jumper cables, and they have dogs alive all over them, whatever that is. And that was her father's level of care. And with the 50 Shades of Grey movie coming out, I've had the opportunity to meet a panel of experts and people around the world that over the next few months will be coming on the show and talking to you about the feminine power. But today we are going to kickstart that conversation of the feminine power with one of my favorite guests of all time, and certainly one of my favorite, most beloved people on the planet. Today we are talking with Melissa Terry. And not only am I a fan of Melissa's work and a friend of Melissa's and a follower, but to me, she epitomizes the goddess within. She epitomizes beauty. There is something so gorgeous and elegant and scintillating and breathtaking, not just with her work, but with the way that she lives her life. And the first time that I ever met Melissa, there was an immediate spark. There was something that said, this person is special. This is a diamond. This is a gem. This is somebody who shimmers and shines through the darkness. And when I realized the work that she's done with women, it's incredible. She is a spiritual architect. She is a leader in the women's movement. And it is my pleasure, my privilege, and my honor to welcome to today's show Melissa Terry. Melissa, welcome. It's so wonderful to have you here.
Oh, thank you. I am so excited to be back here with you. We always have so much fun, and I love the energy that we create together. So let's see where it takes us today.
Do you like my story about the girl whose father gave her jumper cables for Christmas?
Yes. And you know what? I love it. Do you know, I actually got, it wasn't jumper cables, but I got a tool bag for my bridal shower from one of the women, and I loved it. Because, and I don't want to get ahead of us, but here's the thing is that we, you know, when you talk about our identity as women and this whole goddess movement and the 50 Shades of Grey and, you know, all of this, and we know that as women we are multifaceted beings, but we really do live in an age, and I really do hold the belief that I can have it all. And I have it all by understanding myself and by removing all of the preconceptions of who I should be to allow myself to just be who I am and to explore those different facets. And where that ties into the tool bag for me is like, yeah, you know, I'm so grateful and excited that I have found the love of my life, this beautiful man that I get to share my life with. But it doesn't mean that I automatically become the damsel in distress. There's things that I can do and I can continue to do to grow and take care of myself. And then we do that together. And it's this beautiful wending journey that we take. So good for her. Wow. I love the jumper cable.
And I love the tool belt as well. And it's such an interesting time. I'm glad that you brought up the 50 Shades of Grey. I had the opportunity just recently to go to a 50 Shades party. And there were approximately 150 women. A lot of the experts that were there are going to be coming on the show over the next couple of months. And they had an entire panel of like marriage and sex therapists and counselors. And it was really interesting. And one of the female doctors was in Australia, so they had her on Skype as we were at this event. And the movie had already opened in Australia, even though for us it was still a couple days away. And she was talking about how the firemen in Australia had some sort of special workshop or seminar because they were all preparing for, like, people to be stuck in handcuffs or something. And so they actually were expecting all these 911 calls in Australia, and the firemen had a special training for that, which just seems so crazy. And she is also talking a lot about the rating that dropped the rating, the sex scenes or whatever, to be able to drop the rating. So, you know, younger people could see it, and how she really didn't think it was an appropriate vehicle for teenage girls, because teenage girls are then going to think this is how one should be treated in a relationship or look for a man that treats them that way. And it opened a really interesting conversation, and I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely opened up a really interesting conversation ever since the book was published, and it just went viral. It's opened up this whole new space. So I have, you know, there's kind of two main sides to this. Of one, do I think it's very empowering for women and people in general to be talking about sexuality and to be having a space to go and to ask questions or to explore or to find that? And absolutely, I do. Everything that I do, and when, you know, I'm a spiritual architect, and what that means is that everything is created on foundations of truth, and we tie those foundations of truth into how we live our lives. And so I'm always looking at where is the source, where is the root? Because inherently, a particular act or a certain word or, you know, anything doesn't inherently have a root in whether it's good or bad or evil or anything else. But what it is what is the intention? What is the energy behind what you're doing? So that's why with this whole 50 Shades of Grey movement, I think, you know, don't be rash to jump to one extreme or the other. There is, I think, some positive things that are opening up. I think the other side of it that we've got to be aware of is, what is the energy behind what is being depicted in 50 Shades of Grey, and how are people taking that? How are, you know, our young women, how are women in general? Because when we look at that part of it, there is this ongoing perception of the disinterested, emotionally detached, moody male that is coming, you know, even more into the forefront of feminine attraction, and, you know, this is what's hot, this is what's really sexy right now. I mean, we see it here in 50 Shades of Grey, we see it in the Twilight series, we see it reoccurring in multiple media, and we know the impact that the media has. Really, it's a place where we come, and it's like collective consciousness coming together. So when we look at that, this is the thing that I would say, let's be really aware of this, because those of you that have had the chance to listen to the radio shows that Nicole and I have done before, you've heard me share a little bit about my story. And I come from a place, and I've had intense experiences in my life where sexuality was not a safe thing, where it was not being represented as a connection between, you know, two people who are expressing love. And as a result, and especially when people experience sexual abuse at a young age, or, you know, where you're exposed to these kinds of counterfeit love, it creates a conundrum inside, because again, when you're born in, I was born into this kind of a space, and so it was just inherent in this belief structure that this was okay. And as you start to learn that this isn't okay, there's that
there's that push and that pull. There's that internal struggle. And so, and I see that as we're starting to plant this and it's becoming more generally acceptable that this disinterested, this moodiness, this control, this, you know, introducing that, that we're mistaking it for love, and we're mistaking it for trust, and we're mistaking it for safety, because we've talked a little bit before too about how when you come into a loving relationship, this, those core foundations are set on integrity, on trust. And to me, that is what exists at the core of that intimacy. When you choose to share all of you in that, and specifically in that sexual arena, and in that sexual arena, when it's open and wonderful and loving, it, it's fun to explore. It's fun to, you know, it's all the flavors, if you will. And we love flavorful things and being able to explore those. What's coming up with this introduction of things like 50 Shades of Grey, I mean, you know, the thing that was always interesting to me when this book went viral was these are the kinds of things, you know, you get the romance novels and you get people reading them in their bedrooms and now they're reading them on, you know, out on as they're waiting for the bus. And again, not that we should be hiding things in the shadows, but it's interesting to me. And I want us to look at the core of what's happening and the philosophies that are being promoted, because that's where the seeds are planted. And I'll connect it to one more thing.
I'm going to jump in for just a second.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for interrupting. I just want to backtrack for just a second and ask you. So when you, I love the idea of counterfeit love.
Yeah.
You see the idea of counterfeit love, because that's such a great phraseology to be able to look at this. And when you're talking about integrity and trust, because I know that people are listening to this and they're hanging on their seats with this, and for those that don't know, you know, your history of, you know, being sexually abused, and I hope it's okay that I share that, because I know that you talk about how to free yourself from joy, and I think it's so important for people to know that there is life on the other side of that. But when you talk about, is it okay, isn't it okay, and that's the conversation, how do you know, Melissa, if something's okay?
That is a brilliant question. And that's where, for me, this is how I navigated my way out of this conundrum. So when you experience counterfeit love, and when I talk counterfeit love, I'm not just talking sexual abuse. I'm talking, you know, codependency. I'm talking passive-aggressive love. I'm talking, you know, any of these things. And it's interesting because as I'm working with people, and we talk about how love is a pure space, and they come up and there's all this fear. It's like, but love hurts, or I'll see quotes, you know, going around social media about how love is hard and it hurts and this and that. It's like, no, that's not love. That's the absence of love, or mistaking something for love. So for me on my personal journey, and waking up and realizing that I've been enmeshed in all of these forms of counterfeit love, it has a tendency to really skew, you know, how do I find real love? How do I distinguish? And coming back to your question, what is okay? And the broad, you know, the most general answer is of that is whatever is okay for you is okay. And I say that in this way, of when your choice starts to affect another person, then that crosses over into somebody else's agency, and that's where we get that force that causes a counterfeit love. But if you choose to be in a monogamous relationship and you choose to be, and you find somebody that chooses to be in a monogamous relationship with you, you've both chosen that, it comes into the space and that works together. If you are in a monogamous relationship and you choose to be part of an open relationship or part of a swinger community or whatever that might be, but your partner doesn't, that affects the integrity of the bottom line of what you've created together.
So it's funny that you say that. I had a friend, I'm sorry for interrupting, I had a friend who was a sex slave many years ago, and or whatever that is, sort of that contract in Fifty Shades of Grey or whatever that she had. And but when she talked about it, she would always say, he did this to me, and he did that to me, and he did this to me, and he did that to me, and he did this to me. And it was always like with horrification that she spoke about it. It was never like, guess what we tried? Guess what we explored? Guess what we experimented? It was always she was the victim of some act. And that would drive me mad because of the way she talked about it.
Yes. Yes. And this is where it doesn't, it always comes back to you and to what's inside. If you identify yourself as a victim, you will continue to attract into your life victimizers because that's the energy match. If you were a victim, you don't attract in a hero. See, that's what we've been taught, is that the hero comes to save the damsel in distress. If you look at the premise of the damsel in distress, she's being a victim. And yet, and so with that premise, and we've been taught from little girl, you know, since we were little girls, and we see all of these fairy tales, and which is why I love that fairy tales are taking a little bit of a different bend now, that if you want your knight in shining armor to come, you must be the damsel in distress. You must be the victim. And those of us, then you have women that fight against that. And so then they're like, you know what, screw that. I'm not waiting around. And so I'm going to become the hero. But it shifts over, not into balance, but over to the opposite side, into becoming the aggressor. And so we're just swinging around on all these pendulums.
I never thought about that, Melissa. Wow. That's so true. All the fairy tales are written that way.
They are. So I love the line in the Disney Frozen movie that came out where she's like, Anna, you can't marry somebody that you just met. Because this is what happens in all the fairy tales. I meet you. Oh, it's love at first sight. In fact, I have a literary work that at some point will be published where we go into essentially the backstories that happen in between the time. Because to me, when you read the fairy tales, there's these huge gaps of time, like, oh, they meet, and oh, they get married. It's like there's these storylines that I've seen inside of my head for years about this progression of what that relationship actually looks like. And I think this is interesting because, and a little off topic, but we're talking about relationships because we have those ideals of what a relationship should be. And you mentioned at the beginning too, you know, whether you're in a relationship or you're not, you're looking for that relationship, or you're in the relationship that isn't playing out the way that you think it should play out. And so it's like, oh, the fairy tale version is, because when you introduce your partner now to your friends, and it's always, oh, how did you meet? We want to know the story. And it's, oh, well, it was this, it was amazing, and now we're here. And it wasn't all of the in-between of, well, then this happened, and there was this miscommunication, and then I found out that he does this, or he had an issue with, you know, me, and then we had this spat, and then we come together. And it's that push and pull that really does create and strengthen a relationship, because you find those foundations. You find those foundations of communication, and you set in that integrity.
Beautiful. It's really amazing. I love that this is the work that you're doing. And I know that you're working now with the embodied woman and the embodied goddess, actually. And so can you share what that looks like? What it means to be a goddess that's embodied and wise and powerful and still in her sensuality and sexual presence and vulnerability and curiosity and all those things that a woman can be.
Yeah, that is such a beautiful journey. It's, you know, a journey that I have been on really my whole life, but very consciously in the last 15 years, And now it's my privilege and my honor to create spaces where women get to experience this and bring it really into tangibility, because we have, you know, amazing, amazing people that are bringing more consciousness and more shedding more light on, you know, universal laws, laws of truth, law of attraction, you know, all of these kinds of things. But in the end, often when, you know, you're done reading that book or you're done going to that seminar or that weekend and you've gotten this wonderful high and you feel really good about it, there's this gap between that and actually being able to apply it to your life. You know, not just the trajectory of your vision, of your dreams, but, okay, what does that mean that I do today? How is it that the words that I'm speaking right now or the way that I'm interacting in my home with my loved ones or the way that I'm interacting with coworkers or, you know, all these little choices, the food that I'm choosing to eat, how is that affecting my ability to actually live this dream and be who it is that I actually am? So that's the gap that I have, that I got to cross personally in my life. And as such, I've always had this fascination with the structure of it, which is where the spiritual architecture came from. So in its simplest form, our spiritual architecture is founded on the four bodies. So the spiritual, the intellectual, the emotional, and the physical. And when you are able to see and relate to each one of those bodies, to understand its purpose, to understand how it communicates with you, because each of those bodies is, for lack of better words, it's feeding you messages. It's bringing you information. And it often acts a lot like echolocation, you know, where the energy that we put out is bouncing off and it's coming back to us. Those are the messages that we're receiving. But unless you know what you're looking for or how to speak the language of that message, it's just going by the wayside. And especially when it comes to the emotional body, even as we get into this new age enlightenment conscious, you know, movement, it is the body that we resist the most. And it comes out in the way that we structure things. We even say body, mind, spirit. Emotional body gets left out all the time. And it is such a core essential part of magnetizing and driving forth and being who you are on a daily basis. And often people still are fighting it and they see that emotional body as a hindrance or as, you know, part of the opposition, part of that enemy force.
I'm so glad you said that, because that was my next question. Because I'm sure that there are people that are listening right now that are saying, one, do I have an emotional body? That they're not even sure that they have one or that they own one or they know where to find one. And then the other is people tell me I'm too emotional all the time. And is that a bad thing to step into my emotional body when people are always trying to shut me down from my emotions?
Yes, and these are the most common ways that we experience our emotional body. So let me explain it like this. When we talk about, like, we're talking about love, and it's a difficult concept to talk about because we've taken this huge concept of that you could put a lot of different words on and smashed it all into the center, you know, this presence of true essence of being and living in alignment with who you are and that energy and that light and that truth and peace and integrity all comes into this space that we call love. And then we have these things that we also use the word love for that are, as we mentioned, counterfeit forms of love. And when
is
it
that
comes,
like a love pumpkin pie or is that like different?
Well, I'm sorry, what?
I said, is that like I love pumpkin pie or is
yeah.
it?
No, that is very much an integrity with no. But here's the thing is that we take that same word and then we apply it to things like that, things that we have an affinity for, where it's also the same word that we use when we talk about this greater philosophy of presence of being or that tingle that you get. So you can understand where we've created inherently a lot of confusion around it just from the semantics of the language that we use. So with everything that exists has its true self, what we call, you know, it's in alignment, or the light side. And then everything has a counterfeit side, or a shadow side. Now, here's the interesting thing, is that that counterfeit side has a duality, meaning that it will either go to one extreme or the other. It will either go way over or way under, kind of like your thyroid. When your thyroid gets out of balance, it goes either really overactive or really underactive. So when we talk about the emotional body and you go, yeah, there's some people who are like, I don't know, do I even have an emotional body? Because their reaction, as they've experienced life, and they experienced things that were painful or, you know, that made them angry or that hurt, our natural inclination that's part of that survival mechanism of our being is to protect ourselves. And what happened is that we didn't receive that emotion as a message, as an indicator, as a GPS signal for us. We received it as that emotion is bad. We put it on the messenger. We shot the messenger. And so as a result, we create beliefs and patterns in our life to avoid ever experiencing that again. And we do that in one of two ways. Some people suppress that emotional body. And so we get to the point where, yeah, I don't feel like an emotional person. We put much more value into being logical and analytical, and it makes sense, and I'm, you know, rational here. And then there's some people that go to the other side of that counterfeit emotional body of being over emotional, or rather, I like to use the word, it's drama. Because emotion in and of itself is not bad. And I'll demonstrate this, you know, from my own personal journey. Years and years, this was definitely the hardest body for me to really connect with. In fact, I really, for a number of years, just didn't even want to. Because my emotional body, to me, felt like something completely out of my control. And as I had experienced counterfeit love, or as I had experienced, see, this was the main reason why I never liked going to dramatic movies or sad movies, because I felt like I was just walking in and handing my power over to someone or something else, because it could make me feel a way that I didn't want to feel. I didn't want to go, I didn't choose to go into that movie theater and cry. And it would, you know, roller coaster my emotions everywhere. And so for a long time, it was this huge mystery. It's like, I understand, you know, where all of these other bodies fit in, but I don't understand what the purpose of this emotional body is, except for the fact that it's yanking me around. And it doesn't feel good.
Wow. So Melissa, when you're working with people, and I mean, I know you work with women all over the world, and your work is incredible as far as getting people centered and light and happy, and we talk about freeing yourself to really have that kind of joyous life that you know you're meant to live. And so are you finding the bodies, are like the emotional body, the physical body, the spiritual body, or are you aligning to them or accepting them, integrating with them? How does one become an embodied goddess or an embodied woman?
Yes to all of them. So this is what it looks like, is that as we go through this life, just like I mentioned with the emotional body, it happens in the intellectual body as well. Because in essence, our spiritual body just is who we are. It is that true source of energy, of presence, of being, of who we are. Then it comes down, and you can, if you visualize with me the four bodies stacked on top of each other like funnels or like pipes. So when they're aligned, that pure, beautiful essence, that chi, that life energy, that spirit that is you, can flow down into your intellectual body, which manifests itself as clarity and inspiration. and flows down into your emotional body as, and I'm going to be really brief. I can't go as deep as I want to, but the emotional body is that magnetizing force. It is that directional GPS. And then it flows down into the physical body. And the physical body is simply a manifestation. It is a physical form of everything that exists and is created in the three upper bodies. So it's like the receipt printer at when you go to the store. They input what it is that you're buying into the computer, and then the receipt printer just prints it out. If it's wrong, you can't get angry at the printer because it's just printing what it was told to do.
Wow.
So the swing, that counterfeit and that authentic swing that we experience really exists in the intellectual body and the emotional body. That is where we have the ability to pull that alignment out. And when we do that, again, visualize those funnels stacked on top of each other or that row of pipe where when it's aligned, it is flowing through, it is open, and you are getting just that constant presence of being into your body.
Okay, so if I'm in a relationship, I'm going to jump in for a second. If I'm in a relationship and in a marriage, in a whatever, just regular relationship, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, dating, or even just looking to meet somebody, how do I know if it's counterfeit? And how do I know if I'm not in my body or if I'm not present? And at what point does somebody say, okay, this doesn't feel right, or shouldn't I be happy, or isn't there more? Or at what point does somebody find you, and how do you know?
Yeah. Such a beautiful question, and one that I'm sure that we've all asked ourselves probably multiple times in our lives. And the simplest form of that is you find what I call vibrations of truth. So I have a course that I teach specifically on this about finding vibrations of truth, because we know that all of energy is vibration. So when we talk about the authentic, there's a vibration that exists in the authentic, and anything that is authentic, anything that is truth, anything that is aligned will harmonize with that vibration. Anything that is counterfeit will not. It will cause dissonance. And I'm not just talking metaphorically, but because the work that I do is very energetically founded, these are part of those tools of reconnecting with your intuition and working with me as a spiritual architect, that the vibration is a literal thing. And when you start to set anchor points, when you identify some of your core vibrations of truth, these are things that you absolutely, irrefutably, unshakably know. And just like you see rock climbers as they climb up the mountain and they will put anchor points in. These anchor points of vibrations set in the vibrations of truth mean that no matter what happens, you cannot fall beyond this point because you know this is truth. And this is part of you removing anything that is inauthentic, anything that is out of alignment in you, so that you can start to identify that outside of you. Now, I don't. I say that so that we can kind of set the ground, but when we do this work, it comes in very tangibly. It's not just, oh, that's a nice idea. What does that mean? But it means that as you become more clear and as you have the assistance to find those vibrations of truth, because this is what, again, I can't teach anything, I can't hold space for anybody of things that I haven't done personally, and this is why I was able to get out and to break the chains of counterfeit love and to establish a place where I was not perpetuating the patterns of counterfeit love, but that I could actually attract into my space authentic aligned presence of being through that relationship, not only with myself, but with a love partner. So,
wow. So when you're talking about your relationship workshops, or how do you work with people? Because you had mentioned a workshop. I know that you work on Skype, and do you have live workshops that people can go to? Or because I know that your work is so profound in the healing of women, and especially for people at such a confusing juncture when there's so much media and the movies and the books and the things that are coming out that are having us doubt and question our own sexuality and our own presence and our deepest desires and how we express those.
Yeah, and so the way that it's evolved for me to work with people is I do work one-on-one. Where I'm able to work with you, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, people that just are in the physical location of where I work, but I work with people, like you mentioned, all over the world because this work can be done remotely. So we have the one-on-one. Now, obviously, I only have a certain amount of time, and to accommodate and to be able to bring this out, I created and we facilitate group workshop that are live and virtual. We have intensives that are 3 to 5 day retreats. And I'll tell you, the impact that comes out of those retreats is phenomenal. The shift that happens because we're able to get into the space and we're able to actually start physically clearing things out of your body, out of those bodies, and bring it into alignment. And when you do that, you automatically see the ripple effect in your life because your life exists the way that it is because of the resonance that you've been putting out. And when we shift the resonance, that your world must change. It cannot exist any other way. And so we have those live and online workshops where it's essentially I can go deeper into a lot of the things that we've been seeding here in this conversation about vibrations of truth, about the four bodies, about the energy centers, about each of the bodies individually, and, you know, beyond and beyond, and how to actually be tangibly affecting change in those, the retreats. And then I'm actually really, really excited because I haven't even had the chance to tell you about this. But we know that for continued personal growth, because I know that you've had a tremendous journey as well, Nicole. And as you've sought to continue to take, how do I take that next step forward? How do I do, you know, how do I make my vision manifest? How do I go out and serve more people? And it's this space of constant expansion that you know the power and the importance of mentorship, of finding those people that come in. And so what has now just evolved is there is a gathering happening. And however it is that people experience it, there's a gathering of conscious beings. There's a gathering of women. We're coming together. We're seeking each other out because we're also realizing, one, I'm not meant to do this on my own, and we're stronger together. And when we come together in this space, in this consciousness, in this joint, you know, belief that as I come with all of who I am, I'm not only honored for being that, and I get to be as quirky and weird and all of those things that I've been hiding because I thought that it wasn't okay, and I come together with people who love that about me, but as we come together, we edify and elevate each other. So as this gathering's been happening, and I know amazing, wonderful people like you and all these fabulous people that have showed up as mentors for me, and we all do different things, and we know that there's times where the work that I do is going to benefit you, and then there's times where, you know, you want to get deep into your money beliefs and you want to get deep into your physical healing. And what we've done is created a mentoring network so that gives you access to world-class mentors that are doing workshops and retreats like I am, and instead of having to pay, you know, $5,000, $20,000 to go to these and pick and choose and what all of that is, we said we will all come together and gather our content and put this together as a mentoring network where you can come and you can join and you can get this live online from wherever you're at for $99 a month.
Oh, my gosh, Melissa, yeah. That's amazing. That's great.
Because the people that I'm working with, all of us, we're always focused on how do we bring this to more people? How do we give you more? And there's an opportunity for people to step now into this space to get that mentoring, to get that one-on-one interaction with people that they may not have ever had the chance to mentor with. And here's the other thing is that I love when we came together, we said, look, this is good. How do we make it better? And so every time somebody joins the mentoring network, we donate a membership to someone who could not otherwise afford it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working with nonprofits and philanthropic societies to bring this to people who are literally struggling to rebuild their lives, but they are determined and they are looking for those tools and resources.
Just beautiful. Oh my gosh, Melissa, I love this idea. I absolutely love it. And so how do people find that, and how do people find you to coach with you or to take your workshops? So I'm sure people are like, how do we get to her?
Yes, so the easiest way is to go to liveenlightened.com.
Hmm.
And when you go there, you will see, you'll be able to connect with women, you'll be able to connect with the goddess embodied events that we do, the workshops and the retreats, the gatherings. You will also be able to connect men. I love our conscious men that are coming together. And in fact, so anybody who's listening to this too, I've done as much work with men as I have women. There's this wonderful, beautiful gathering and this rise of this feminine energy. So I'm putting a lot of my focus there right now. But this is very open to men. We do run all those programs in Live Enlightened as well, and you can see those there. So many people in my space are conscious entrepreneurs, and they're looking for those tools. So we have our Enlightened Entrepreneurs platform. And most of all, you can get the information and connect with us in this mentoring network. And I haven't even gone into all of the details of what that is, but know that it's an incredibly powerful tool, not only for you, but when you join, you give this gift to somebody else. And being a conscious, what I know about conscious people is that they know lots of other conscious people, and so much of what we all do is word of mouth. There's a way for you, as you introduce people, if you introduce three people that come into the mentoring network, yours is free. You won't ever pay that $99 again.
So beautiful. And I know people are diligently like writing down and racing around their house looking for a pen. If you send a text message, pick up your phone, send a text message to 55678. It's really easy. Send a text message to 55678. And the message is simply Nicole. And you can get a copy of today's show or any of our previous shows, our archives, and listen to Melissa as she talks about how to free yourself from joy, which is honestly, Melissa, we have more people download that show than I think any other show that we have done through the years. You were like the favorite and the favorite guest, and just your material is always so beautiful. So you don't have to run around your house, you know, pick up a crayon, whatever you have, you know, eye pencil, 55678. That's really easy to send a text message or pick up your phone. Send a text to 55678. The message is Nicole, and you can get a copy of today's shows and all of Melissa's archives and go through this, listen to it over and over again, but find out where those links are to those websites to be able to listen to this material and work with her, because truly she is one of the greatest gifts that's ever been given to this planet. And I also wanted to ask you, at the top of the show, you and I were talking right before the show, we were talking about Valentine's and that how yes. Valentine's was the release of 50 Shades of Grey on Valentine's yes. Day, and you did something kind of special on Valentine's Day, and I would love you to share that with our audience.
Yes, and thank you, because this is something that I love to be able to share. So on Valentine's Day, and it's become a tradition for the last 3 years since this started, is that I gather with a large group of women here locally, and we are gathering with a billion women and the men who love us around the planet as part of what is called 1 Billion Rising. So 3 years ago, Eve Ensler, who is the author of The Vagina Monologues, and a lot of people don't recognize her name, but they do know the title of her.
I love that play. Are you kidding? It was such a wonderful play.
Because, and here's what I love about Eve, and she's done multiple TED Talks, so you can search her, you can find her, please do. She is an advocate for women. And this is what I love about the gathering that's happening and the women that are coming together and the men who love us who are coming together to stand for women. And if you listen to Emma Watson's speech that she gave as, you know, at the UN about he for she, this is the energy behind everything. It is not about swinging on this pendulum anymore. We are not swinging from being victims to being aggressors. We are letting go of the pendulum, and we were coming into the center, and we are saying, no more. I choose to honor myself, and just because I choose to honor myself does not mean I'm dishonoring you. In fact, to truly honor myself, it means that I must honor those who are around me and be in a space of love. But just because I choose to be in a space of love does not mean I have to allow anything that you choose to give off or to be in into my space. But it means that I become the master of my space. And as we gather together, it means that we are not doing this alone, because what people still do not completely comprehend is that per capita, we are experiencing a higher level of slavery right now on our planet than we have at any other point in history. Because statistically, one out of every three women on this planet will be raped, will be beaten, will be murdered. And with roughly 6 billion people on the planet, it means that's roughly 3 billion women, meaning roughly 1 billion women will experience this in her life. And those of us that do intimate work, like I have the privilege of doing, will tell you that when we get groups of women, that statistic is closer to 1 in 2, or everyone in the room. And it's not just happening in third world countries, and it's not just happening in other states in the United States. I guarantee you it's happening where you live. And 1 billion women experiencing these kinds of things is a tragedy. But what Eve Ensler started with 1 billion rising is that if we have 1 billion people on this planet that gather together and say, no more, I am coming, I am owning my voice, I am speaking my voice for those who do not have a voice right now. And we are gathering together to celebrate, to create awareness. And from this, there are a lot of things that are going on. So on Valentine's Day, we get together and we do this. We celebrate and we gather in public places, and there is a flash mob dance that we do that is part of this celebration and this movement to show that energy, to bring us all together. But I can tell you from there, there are amazing women who have started organizations, there are amazing men who have started organizations that are putting boots on ground, that are doing things in their areas and around the planet. Two that I specifically know of here in Utah, where I live, there's an organization called She Rose that is advocating for women, and they have programs in place for them to be moving forward for suicide prevention, for personal development. And there's another one here called Our Rescue, which is Operation Underground Railroad. And I don't have enough time to tell you about this, but look both of these up. Our Rescue was founded by a former, and I apologize if I get this wrong, but I believe he's a former Navy SEAL. He worked with the CIA, stopped to start his own group to do undercover operations around the world to free children who are enslaved. And I got a message late last night that they just had another operation that just freed 200 children. The month before that, I know that they had one that saved over 200.
Wow. Do you know, there I read a story, Melissa, just, I'm sorry for jumping in, but I read a story recently about a six-year-old who was married off 6 years old, and her husband so brutally raped her the night of her wedding or whatever, that in the morning she was dead. 6 years old, and they have her in this little wedding dress or whatever, the pictures of her ceremony, how she was, to think about that, that's happening in today's society is unbelievable. I mean, it's like shattering to the heart and mind and consciousness.
Yeah, and even as I stood at 1 Billion Rising, and there were a couple of women that were sharing their story and sharing about what's going on in the planet, and I heard the chatter of some women nearby me, and they're like, "What? That can't be true." And we start to dismiss it. Because I will be the first to admit with you, it sounds unbelievable. It sounds bizarre. It sounds so perverse and twisted and out of what, you know, most of us conceive to be our world, that often people are quick to dismiss it. I acknowledge that this is off of a lot of people's radar, and that is why it's able to continue. So just be open and know from those of us that have personally experienced it, yes, this is what's happening, and it's not just with women, it is with men too, and it's not just with young women or teenagers, but it is with children from the time that they're born.
Just amazing information, and I always am astonished when you come on the show, because you pull at heartstrings in such a different way and open and unveil truths that are just waiting to be shared and waiting to be told. And the fact that this is how you chose to live and to share your Valentine's, and that there are women around the world and men around the world supporting this cause, creating this change, bringing this awareness to the planet, is so spectacular. And I so honor you for your work and your commitment and all that you do for women worldwide.
Thank you, Nicole. And this is such an honor. It's always an honor to get to work with you and to come onto these radio shows and to have, and thank you, because any chance that I can get to share and to spread awareness and this knowledge, and anything that I can disseminate as truth, anything that I can do to support people on their path, because I know this is what I know. And I know, you know, we kind of brought in all this energy, and I want to leave you on a high note, is the fact that I want, and not only can I tell you that there is, whether yours is extreme as mine or it's not, what I know, because I spent a lot of years not knowing whether I was going to wake up the next day or not. And the reason I say that is because I have an inherent value of today. The fact that I have a moment right now today. And so often we get into this place of complacency and mediocrity and I'll get to it, I'll do that, I'm doing this now so that I can live my life later, you know, mentality. And I urge you, because whatever it is that you are doing right now is your life, is how you're choosing to spend your most valuable resource of your time. What, and I ask you, is what you're doing worth it? Is what you're doing what you love? Are you experiencing the peace and the joy and the excitement? And are you experiencing life deliciously? Because if you're not, I ask you to look at it and to come and seek out the mentors that are there to support you. And if I can be of that support in your journey, or even connecting you to the people who are, or come and be part of our mentoring network, because that is the whole reason that we're doing this.
Wow. Melissa, this is so beautiful that this is your work. And I know that, we could bring you on every week, because you're such a wealth of information. You talk about this funnel that leads into this funnel and this funnel that leads into this funnel. And I'm like, to me, it's like those pods that overpour, like the waterfall. It's like you're just constantly in flow and constantly just pouring over us this luscious, unbelievable crisp, spectacular, scintillating information that evolves and uncovers and just changes our lives in such dramatic and profound and beautiful and enlightened ways. And so it's just always such a joy to have you here. And I know that as we come to the close of the show, I just wanted to ask one more question. And so as we talk about the embodied goddess and the work that you're doing as an embodied goddess, what does that mean to be a goddess embodied? And is it in all of us?
Yes, it is in all of us. The goddess embodied is in every woman. The God embodied is in every man. It's that divine essence of who you truly are. And I got caught up in that. What was the question?
Yes. Is it in all of us? And it is. And the divine quality of who you are is the perfect answer, because I always love taking definitions and putting them on the site. And so that divine essence of who you are is perfect, and that each and every person. And so for those of you who have gone through the past few months of the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's and Valentine's, and now you just feel like you're bruised. Like a piece of fruit that people are squeezing, like, oh, or other views that just feel like all plump and luscious and like, oh, life is so great. But what happens next? And can it get any better? You know, you're fine, Melissa, because she can take you to the next level of you and who you are. And it's just, Melissa, we so look forward to having you back with us again. And congratulations on all of your work. And absolutely fine, 1 billion rising. Find these workshops, find the enlightenment and the joy within your heart. And for myself and for Melissa Perry, I know that we are both wishing you the happily ever after and the life that you always knew you were meant to live, and all of the dreams and the desires, and that your happily ever after come true. Melissa, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, and thank you, everyone who is listening in.
And you really are, Melissa, the embodied goddess. So for Hourglass Bride, we look forward to seeing you next week, wishing you the happily ever after.